The triumphal parade that went into Jerusalem happened every year at the Passover. It began 60 miles west of Jerusalem at a town called Caesarea Maritima. It was a port city. It had cavalry riding on horseback and infantry in their armor and with their weapons and carrying banners. The golden eagle of Rome held high on a pole, glimmering in the blazing sun, and it was led by Pontius Pilate, the military commander in the region and the regional Roman governor. Pilate wasn't coming to Jerusalem to show his respect to the Jews. He was coming to suppress revolt. He was coming at Passover because Passover was that celebration where Jews remembered that God had come and rescued them from their slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt, and it was Pilate's job to make sure that nobody got the idea that the time was ripe for God to do that again. Mark's gospel tells the story of an altogether different kind of parade. You'll find it in the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel. We're going to share the first 10 verses together. Would you turn there with us in the scripture? Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And there the scripture says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it back here. And if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it, and he'll send it back here shortly.' And they went and found a colt at a place where two ways met, tied in a doorway. And as they were untying it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that donkey?' And they answered as Jesus told them, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, Jesus sat upon it. And many other people threw their cloaks on the ground, while others spread branches that they cut from the fields, and the people who went before them and the people who followed after them shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the word of the Lord. While Pilate was coming from the west, Jesus and his disciples were amidst a group of disciples coming in from the east, coming from Jericho through Bethphage and Bethany to the Mount of Olives. Jesus and his disciples were coming for the Passover to remember and to celebrate the Exodus, that time when God, through Moses, had delivered his people and called them to be a nation and sent them into the world on a mission. Each year, Passover offered the promise that God might do it again. Each year, Passover offered the promise of coming freedom and suggested that there would be another Moses, another Messiah, another deliverer from God. So in that year, somewhere about AD 30, two crowds came to two parades. Two opposite parades on opposite sides of Jerusalem. One crowd went to see Pilate and to celebrate the love of power, the power of Roman military might. But they went out to shout, "Hail Caesar! Caesar is Lord!" They didn't go out because they were loyal to Caesar. They just understood his power, and that he wanted people who were sycophantic toward him. They'd rather have their own king. They'd rather have a Jewish king, a warrior king, who would have defeated their enemies at the point of a sword, who would have redeemed them and set them free, and whose reign would have been marked by getting rid of the Romans. The other crowd, they saw Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as a sign that he was coming to be the king. Then, as now, In the Middle East, that is what spreading palm branches on the road means. When there's that little vegetation, you don't just cut it down one day because you're excited. You do it to welcome a king. Since coming to South Maine, I've never heard this text and not thought about Ward Hill, who was on assignment in Dubai one day when the king of Jordan came to visit. And overnight, they lined the 10 miles of highway from the airport to the palace with palm trees on either side. And they had people stand the 10 miles and bow before him to welcome the coming of a king. When they spread out their palm branches, they were saying, "Come be our king." And they shouted out a prayer, "Hosanna, save us now, we pray. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Those are words which occur nowhere else in Scripture. They're a focused prayer asking God to keep his promise to David, to put a son of David on the throne, to give them a king. The crowd that came to Jesus' parade had been listening to what Jesus said. Jesus inaugurated his ministry and he said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." He told the disciples that to them the secrets of the kingdom of God had been made known. He introduced many a parable by saying, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? And what is the kingdom of God like?" You might think about doing what I do as I read the scripture, and that is when I go through the gospels, I just underline every place it says the kingdom of God. Because you can't have a kingdom without a king. The crowd came out because they wanted Jesus to be their king, but he has indeed come to be king of the Jews, king of the world. But he's not come to be the kind of king that they want him to be. Through Jesus, God's salvation is going to come, but it will be at the end of the week, not at the beginning. It will come through the power of love, not the love of power. And Jesus will be a king who will be crowned with thorns and enthroned on a cross and hailed as king of the fools. And yet, he built a kingdom more powerful than anything that Pilate and his professional soldiers could imagine, more widespread than the borders of Israel, more enduring than even the Roman Empire. The only reason we even know that Pilate had a procession is because we've studied the one that Jesus brought into town that day. On that first Palm Sunday, the people in Jerusalem had a choice to make. Should we go west or should we go east so that we could cheer for the parade that's coming into town? And some of the very people who had been praying to God to save them went west to see Pilate's parade and call out, "Hail Caesar," so they could placate the powers that be. And by the end of the week, some of the very people who came east to see Jesus' parade were shouting not Hosanna, but crucify. Because Jesus wouldn't be the kind of king they wanted him to be. So they killed him. Who would do that? Who would make those kinds of choices? We would. And we do. There's something fundamentally flawed about human nature that Mark wants us to catch as he tells us this story. Every one of us has the capacity for faith. And every one of us has the capacity for betrayal. And in each one of us, there is a heart of darkness. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the scripture says. That's the real problem that needs fixing. See, as long as we think that our problem is we're essentially good, we just need a little tweak here and there. We just need a little guidance. We just need a light enlightenment. We're never going to understand what Mark is describing to us is happening here. The disciples, They had all the enlightenment any human being could ever ask for. They walked with and talked with and lived with and ate with and shared life with Jesus for 3 years. And still, they denied him and deserted him and betrayed him. What does it mean to proclaim that Jesus is the King? It starts with this. It means that if we know that Jesus is the King, then there is no other King. There is no one else to whom we turn for the authority in our lives. There is no one else to whom we give deference in our lives. We don't say, this is one of the choices among many. We don't say, if you'd like to try having a king, we've tried Jesus and we think that's all right. You might try Jesus or you might try someone else. No. The proclamation of the gospel is Jesus is Lord. Jesus and only Jesus is Lord, which means Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is the King over all creation. All authority in heaven and on earth has been granted unto him. And because Jesus is the King, evil has been defeated in the world. Sin has been atoned for. Death has lost the battle, and life has won the victory. Jesus is the only King. Then we can only attend one of those parades. If Jesus is the King and we are his subjects, then we have to build our lives on the power of love. We have to ask ourselves, are we willing to obey Jesus even when we don't understand his commands? Are we willing to put our property and our prosperity at his disposal? Are we ready to honor him, finding in our own lives the equivalent of cloaks and palm branches so that we can make his coming a celebration and a sign of our commitment to him? Or have we so watered down the Christian gospel and our own commitment to Jesus that we'll only obey him when he does the things that make sense to us, that we'll only follow him if he'll be the kind of king that we want him to be, if he'll do what we want done? Verse 4 tells the story of these two disciples that Jesus sends forward into the village in front of them. And the way Mark says it in the Greek is, they found this colt at a place where two ways meet. In the midst of their doubts, they found themselves literally at a crossroad. They could walk on or they could walk back. But they knew that Jesus had called them to live in a particular way, to go in a particular way, to follow in the way. And to this day and time, in this moment in time, when we are confronted by the gospel, we find ourselves at a crossroad, at a place where two ways meet. And we can go our way, or we can follow the way, but we cannot do both. At some point, we have to come to see, once we pick a parade, we have picked a path. You can't go both west and east at the same time. The parade determines the direction of your life. And the bottom line is, all of us, each one of us, is cheering for a Savior in life. And there are any number of people who will come into your life and say they can save you, who will say that they can make sense of the world. But only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus has won the victory that matters. Only Jesus is the King, which means any time we put anything before the kingly rule of Christ in our lives, we have decided what kind of king we will follow. And we've decided that Jesus is the wrong kind of king, and we have begun to yell, "Hail Caesar," instead of "Hosanna." Today's Palm Sunday, and unless you're a doctor or a nurse or a first responder, and if you are, we are praying for you, but unless you're one of those folks, you're probably going to have more time on your hands in this Holy Week than in any other in the course of our lives. take some time this week to follow with us in Mark's gospel, to follow after Jesus in this most consequential week in his life, in the most consequential week in the life of the world. Take some time to journey all the way to the cross and see the power of love, and all the way to the empty tomb and see the victory of God, and pick your parade. Well,